Oh. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for the Word of God.
Amen. We do thank the Lord for being here today. How many know He's always on our throne?
Yes.
Amen. We thank God for all of the testimonies that we've heard. We thank God for being a good God. How many have a witness that God is good? Give God a hand. How many know God is good? Give God a wave offering. Hallelujah. Truly, we thank God for being here today. I thank God for my wife, bless her life, health, and strength. We thank God for all of you. Amen. We thank God for being a keeper. How many know God's a keeper? Well, how many know God's a keeper? None of us are here today because of anything that we've done. We're here because of God's mercy. The song said, God's mercy kept me.
Yes.
And with that go. How many know God is a merciful God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank God for those testimonies, Sister Naree and Brother Robert. Amen. In time you go under the knife, you got to thank God. Hallelujah. When you turn out and everything is okay. So we serve a faithful God.
Yes.
And last Sunday, I'm going to repeat this every Sunday, I said, on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place with one accord. And the Bible says, suddenly. Anybody want to suddenly experience? And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. Does anyone want God to fill all the house? Come on, does anyone today want God to fill all the house? Come on, everywhere I'm sitting, touch me. Everywhere someone is sitting, let me the Lord fill all the house. And it said that they were all filled. Do we want an all filled experience today? Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with tongues as God gave the moderns of the building. Somebody said that was for them. But I heard Peter say the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If God's still calling people today, but the scripture said the promise is for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. We're just so blessed today. Amen. For all that God is doing. It's a wonderful thing to know who Jesus is.
Yes.
Amen. Not to hear about Him, but it's important that you know Him for yourself. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know Him.
Amen.
I'm glad He's a way maker. I'm glad our God is a heart fixer.
Yes.
And I'm glad He's a mind regulator. We're going to turn to the book of Luke in the 18th chapter. We're going to read together verses 18 through 27. Luke 18:18-27. Does anyone today feel like you have some decisions that need to be made? Does anyone feel like you have decisions? Yeah. I'm not talking about what kind of clothes you're going to wear. I'm talking about some life-changing experiences. Life-changing decisions. Well, that's what we're going to discuss this afternoon. Life-changing decisions. The decisions we make can be for our better, or the decision we make can be for our worst. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Verse 18 of Luke 18 reads, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit? Anybody want eternal life?
Amen.
Or how many want eternal life?
Amen.
To never be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. I wonder if people still really believe that today.
Amen.
Honor thy father and thy mother. And the latter portion of that, he reads, so that their days will be long here on the earth. And he said unto all, have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou, you made a lot of decisions, but the most critical decision that you can make, you lack that. Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was
very sorrowful.
For he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, they asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we honor you today. Lord, we take nothing for granted, but we're glad that we're in the house of the Lord one more time. Lord, we're glad when they send unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. For the psalmist declared, it was until I went to the house of the Lord, then understood I therein. Lord, we ask you to send a word today to help those that are at a crossroad. Lord, send a word today to help someone that's on the brink of giving up. Lord, send a word today to help someone in the name of Jesus that's doubting you and whether or not you're able to heal, to deliver, and set free. Lord, your word says you sent your word and it healed. You sent your word to live and it delivered. You sent your word and it set free. Send a healing word. Send a delivery word. Send a mind-setting word, oh God. So we may say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, what can I do to be pleasing to thee? And for this we thank you, and the church say, in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. So we all have pretty much in the church have heard the story of the certain ruler. If he was a ruler, that means he had clout. He had position. Amen. A ruler means he had position in the Jewish religion. Amen. But he went to Jesus because he felt like something was missing. I wonder today, does anyone feel like something is missing? If you feel like something is missing, the most important thing you need to do is go to Jesus. Amen. How many know when you go to Jesus? I heard the songwriter say, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. How many know Jesus? Jesus is the way. So he went to Jesus and he knew something was missing. He asked, well, I hear you talking, I hear you preaching, I hear you teaching. But what must I do to have eternal life? Because the Jews believe as long as you have wealth and riches, that show God's favor. They believe as long as you have power and position, that show God's favor. But there was something about Jesus' teaching that yet this certain ruler know that maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm not where God wants me to be. Maybe I missed it. So he said, Lord, what shall I do to have eternal life? Verse 20 said, Jesus said, well, verse 19, and Jesus said unto him, why call thou me good? None is good save one. Now it's important as you read the Bible, scripture, amen. We don't believe in gematria because it ain't God. But God deals in a number system. Amen. So when he said God is one, that immediately let the certain rich ruler know, because he was a Hebrew or a Jew, when they mentioned one, he knows one meant God. Because Deuteronomy 6:4 said, behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Then Paul tells us in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, there is one body and one spirit, even as you called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, how many?
One.
One faith, how many?
One
baptism.
One.
One God and Father of all, who above all, through all, and in you all. So when the Hebrews hear one, they immediately say, this is God. Remember in John the 10th chapter, in the 30th verse, they were trying to figure out who Jesus was. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And the Bible said the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, well, for which other good works do you stone me? They said, good works we stone thee not. But we stone thee because you said, I am one. You said, I am the. So the number one is automatically associated with God in the Hebrew mindset. We hear me?
Amen.
Amen. So he said, well, what is that one thing that I'm lacking? Amen. Thou knowest the commandments. And he went through the commandments. Verse 21, he said, all these have I kept from my
God.
I know God, but I have not developed a personal relationship with God. I don't want to know about keeping the commandments, the do's and the don'ts. I want to know what must I do to have eternal life. Today, a whole lot of people are keeping the commandments. A whole lot of people are going to church, but they don't have eternal life. Jesus said unto him, when he heard these things, he said unto him, yet thinkest thou? When the certain ruler heard one thing, he said, wait a minute, you saying I don't have God? Because why the law of man get tied into to God? He said, thinkest thou? You know what he's saying? You got everything, but you don't have God. You are lacking one thing. And then Jesus said, I'm going to prove to you that you're lacking the one thing. He said, now, if you really got God, go sell all you have and give to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven and come follow me. He said, I'm going to prove to you that you don't have God because you're not willing to give all. Amen. So the Bible says the young rich man ruler went away very sorrowful because he was what?
Very
rich. And he said it's easier for a camel to go through a needle eye than for a rich man to enter into heaven. When they heard this, they were astonished and astounded because, wait a minute, riches mean you have God's favor. Riches mean God is for you. They said, if a rich man can't go to heaven, who then can be saved? Anybody just want to be saved?
Amen.
If you want to be saved, you got to do it God's way. And that word for saved is the Greek word sozo. It don't mean just to be saved, but it means to be made whole. Amen. So he said, who then can be saved if a rich man can't be saved? Jesus said, well, man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I wonder today, if God asked us to give up one thing to have treasures in heaven and follow him, could we do it? What is the one thing that's holding us back from giving God our all? Can we say one thing? If you can't give God your all, then you don't have God. Because there should be no limitation. If God asks you, I can see a man ask you. If God speaks to you in your private devotion, if God speaks to you in your private time, if God speaks to you when you're isolated, and God asks you to do something, how many are willing to be obedient to the call of God? How many are willing to do what the Lord says do? So our message today is, you are at a spiritual crossroads. You're at a crossroads. And my advice to you right now is, choose the Lord.
Yes.
You're at a spiritual, I'm not talking about just a crossroad. I'm not talking about a road that's called. I'm talking about you're at a crossroad. You're at a major point in your life where you have to make a critical decision. You need to say, well, do I follow the Lord or do I continue in the way that I've been going? Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So you're at a crossroad. Things are critical. Amen. And if we're ever living in a day and time when things are critical, today is that day and time. If we're ever living in a time where it seems like there's more chaos than anything in the world, today is that time. But how many know God is a keeper? Even in the midst of danger, God can keep you. Even in the midst of trouble, God can
keep
you. How many want to be kept by the power of God? God is a keeper. God is a way maker. Now, I just want to let you know that when you're at a crossroad, you have to make a choice. Now, I can't make your choice. You're at a crossroad. And if we go to Joshua in the 24th chapter and the 14th verse, Joshua is dealing with the people. He said, now listen, you've been following the gods that were on the other side of the flood. You've been following those gods that couldn't help. choose. He said, but as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. So you're at a spiritual crossroad. I advise you to choose the Lord. And then if we go back to Joshua, the first chapter, when he got his commission, after he took over after Moses, in the sixth verse, God tells him, he said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Amen. Then he tells him, he repeats it again in the seventh verse, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Yes. Then he tells him again in the ninth verse, you got to be strong and you got to be courageous. A very strong and very courageous in the ninth verse. Well, what was he telling him to be strong and courageous about? He said, you got to stand my word.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're not strong, if you're not courageous, you won't stay in the word. If you're not strong and if you're not courageous, you won't follow God. Hallelujah. But you'll have one thing that'll stop you from making the right choice. You'll hold on to something that'll keep you back. He said, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Now we cannot serve two masters. Amen. The problem with the Laodicean church, they want the best of both worlds. The Laodicean church wants to serve two masters. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve what you want, and you cannot serve what God wants. You cannot serve your desires, and you cannot serve God's desire. Because the Bible said, if you do that, if you don't make a critical choice to follow the Lord, the Bible said you are lukewarm. And the scripture Lord. Well, why do I have to choose the Lord? We're at a critical stage in our lives. Listen, time, I was speaking about this morning. She said, this year we've had more deaths in our families and church than I ever seen in our history. People are leaving this place going from time to eternity. The question is, how are you leaving? How are you making your preparations to meet God? You at a crossroad. You got to make a decision. Well, I'm waiting to see what my husband's going to do, what my wife's going to do, what my best friend's going to do, what this one's going to do. Salvation is about you.
Yes.
The Bible says, work out your
own.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you can't wait for somebody else. They might be looking at you trying to see what you're doing so they can do the right thing. So you have to make a choice to choose the Lord for yourself. Hallelujah. All right, sit down for a minute. I just want to go over. Can I go over a couple of things?
Amen.
Just a couple of things, because we're living in a time and age where people talk church, but they don't know God. A lot of people go to church, but they just in the building, not in the body. A whole lot of people go to church. They in the four walls, but they never got in the body. Well, how do you get in the body? Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was confused. He said, well, Master, are you telling me that I got to enter the seventh time into my mother's womb to be born? He said, no. I'm not talking about an earthly experience. I'm talking about a heavenly experience. If we read that term, born again, really means being born from heaven. That's what it really means if you look at it in the original text. It don't mean just born again. It means born from heaven. There's only one way you can be born from heaven. You got to be born to go through the water and through the
spirit.
He said, that which is flesh is
flesh.
And that which is spirit is
spirit.
Amen. Nicodemus never made an open confession of faith. You can read about it in John after Jesus had died, when he went secretly to get the body of Jesus, but he was a follower. Because he made a choice. Today, don't allow anyone to tell you to make a bad choice. Don't think that your prosperity and your blessings can get you into heaven. You can't pay your way into heaven. You can't pay penance to get into heaven. You can't pay to get out of purgatory into heaven. I heard Jesus tell the rich man at Lazarus. The rich man died. He fed sumptuously every day. He died, and the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell. Lazarus passed on, and he wound up in paradise. And at this time, Jesus had not yet gone down to take captivity captive so they could see in the spiritual realm each other. Amen. We'll get into that a lot later. Just stay with me. So you can see, so that rich man says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He said, but I am tormented in these flames. Hallelujah. Jesus said, well, sir, you had a chance to make the right choice when you were living. But you chose not to choose the Lord. He said, so now where you are is a fixed place. He said, that may break off between the two of us. It means it's fixed. I can't come to you, and you can't come to us. Lord tells you to do.
Yes.
Well, how do we know? The rich man walked away very sorrowful because he had something that he couldn't let go of. He had something that he couldn't let go of for God. My question today is there something that any of us is holding on that we can't let go of that's preventing us from following the Lord? Luke 12 is starting to verse 16. And we're talking about making a decision. Critical decision. A decision for heaven and hell. Listen, I don't care what kind of car you have. You have the most beautiful, most expensive car in the world. I don't care if you live in a $10 trillion mansion. You can't take it with you.
Right.
Everything you own, when you leave, still going to be here. Matter of fact, if I borrow Solomon's word, he said, when we leave, all that stuff you have amassed, a fool will get rid of it. Right? So, you can't take it with you. There's only one thing that you can take with you. And that is your soul. So we have to make a decision about our soul. Too many things are weighing us down. Paul said there's not every weight. And the sin. What's that soul? It don't just beset you. Yeah, that one thing that you've been fighting with it easily. I'm going to church today. That one thing is said, no, you ain't come on, I'm listening to you. Right? That one thing. You know what I'm saying? That one thing. Well, I'm going to do this for God. That one thing said, oh, no, you're not. And it easily. Can we say easily?
Easily.
It easily holds you back. And easily beset you. But I'm trying to do the best I can. Well, you got to give that one thing up and follow Jesus.
Amen.
Until you give it up, that one thing is going to always tickle your fancy.
Amen.
It's going to always take you in the right way. I heard people say in the past, I was going to get baptized, but then when I got ready to get baptized, something happened in my mind, get rid of that one thing.
Yes.
When you were getting baptized, that was the right thing to do. Right? So listen, how many know we in the world have two gods? There's one real God, and then there's he's a God in this world. They call him the devil. There are two gods. The big God, who's the supreme God, gives you a choice to make. He said, if you will, follow me. That little God, he just messes with you, give you no choice. He gets you wrapped up and tied up in stuff that you can't get out of. It gets you wrapped up in an addiction that you can't set yourself free. Why? Because he don't let you make a choice. He binds you. And he keeps you in his possession. God said, Lord, I love you so much, I'm going to let you make a decision. I'm going to let you decide if you love me or not. Amen. Now, how many of y'all married? I'm married. Married or was married or go about marrying. You ain't going to want to be with nobody who's going to make be with you. Amen?
Yeah.
If I gotta make you be with me, then you ain't for me.
Yes.
So this is the strange twist in this is God says, I love you, but you have to decide to come with me.
That's right.
I love you. You listen, okay, none of that can keep you from me. I love you. How much do you love me?
Yeah.
That's what God is telling us. I love you. How much do you love me? Well, the devil says, you get ready to go to church. We're doing this promotion on your job. I don't want you to go to church because I want you to get that promotion. All right, they're going to miss the job. They're going to miss the job. But how many of you got? You going to church? And this family's a big hindrance to going to church. It's fair. You go to church, you can't be on the same page. So you go to church, you can't. I guess y'all don't use age school, but that's what we used to say. Oh, new people, y'all people don't know about that. Well, you can't be my best friend if you're saying that way. Y'all know what they say today. Right? Be it, well, that's what I was saying. Be a Goodrich tire or something. BF Goodrich, BFF. All right, BFF. Well, you can't be my BFF if you go to church. Well, don't you like me as my friend? Yes, but you go to church. Don't let them put that pressure on you. You got to choose God.
Yes.
So the devil keep you all tied up and entangled and stuff. And God said, I love you, but I'm making you make a choice.
Yes. Yes.
You have to choose to follow me. The devil will make you follow him. Amen. He'll get people in your way, constantly blocking you, constantly trying to keep you from him. And God says, I'm here, but I'm just waiting. Does anybody feel like God is just waiting? You've had opportunity after opportunity. There's an old song we used to sing in Tom Pentecost. Don't let it be said too late. Don't let it be said too late. Don't die in your sins. Because I can assure you one thing. If you die in your sin, you're not going to have Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the grounds of a why so riches? Riches will hold you back. Somebody said, I'm rich when you're trying to get rich. And Timothy said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they desire to be rich, to be drowned with many sorrows. So riches, if you're not careful. Well, one of the riches is not just material. Riches can also be, I want a big name. I want a big house. I want this, I want that. That stuff will mess you up. Because riches block God. Move everything, listen, today, move everything out of your life that's blocking God right now. Anything that's blocking God, everybody just do this with me. You're going to just sweep it away. Right? Come on, I'll sweep it away. You're going to hold on to nothing that's blocking God. Sweep it away. And when you sweep it away, now go back and get it. So a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, now we're making a choice. What's the problem? All that stuff you're thinking in yourself. Nobody knows nothing. He thought within, right there, it's a whole lot of thinking within ourselves. He thought within himself. Nobody knew it but God. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What shall I do? Amen. And he went on to say, because I have no room where to restore my fruit. And he said, this the scripture said, don't say tomorrow I will do this, or tomorrow I will do that. But say tomorrow I will do this and that if the Lord wills. So he's already going the wrong direction. Because he's talking about what he does, what he's doing, but he had not made a choice to follow the Lord. This will I do, the Lord permitted. You can say the Lord will, but whatever you do, say Lord willing. Because if the Lord is willing, he'll be with you. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He said, I will pull down my barns and build great. And there I will restore all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my he's done all that talking to himself. I'm saying to myself, you know, look at all my wealth. Look at all I've accomplished. Look at who I am. Look at all those titles following my name. Look, I am somebody. I'm going to talk to my soul. So I say to my soul, soul thou hast laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and but what? Now, fool is the Greek word A-P-H-R-O-N. It means to not make a wise decision. Fool means not to see things from a right perspective. Fool means to see things from your perspective and rival to God's perspective. Fool means I don't want to do it God's way. That's what fool means. So God said, wait a minute. You mean you want to leave me out? And then you're going to have it fixed? God said, that is a fool because you're not seeing things from a godly perspective. You're not seeing things with God included. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, you're not fool.
This night.
This night. is not rich towards God. So we need to make a choice today. Are you going to lay up treasures for yourself, or will you be rich towards God? Can we close in Matthew the 6th chapter? I want to read a couple of verses here in Matthew the 6th chapter. I encourage everyone to be rich towards God, because that's heaven bound. Anytime you leave God out, that's hell bound. There's no in between. There is no, I know they talk about purgatory, but I have never heard of anybody. Have you ever heard of anybody going to hell and going to heaven? Have anything ever told you all that? Everybody want to hear and see and want to witness. I ain't never heard from nobody went to hell and came back and went to heaven. All what I heard was the hell and couldn't get out of there. That's the one I read in the Bible. Right? So don't give me your man theology. I just want to know what God says. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but we need to write it in God's word of truth. Get in God. Stay in God and don't let nothing take you out of God. Get in God. Stay in God. Don't let nothing. Years ago, not my wife, this lady, she said, son, I don't understand. You were at RPI, you were at G, you had all that clout, and now you know what you're doing. That don't make too much sense. You had all that, and now you're doing this church stuff? I made God. I made my choice.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that. Listen, I can deal with the professors. I'm not saying to brag on me. I'm listening to what God can help me do. I can deal with the professors. I can deal with the non-professors. Right? I can do what I need to do with God's help. And if something I don't know, God would add to me. Matter of fact, last week somebody's furnace broke down. I told him I'm not going to help you fix it. Hey, Brother Joseph, you called me. Brother Joseph, you called me a few weeks ago about a furnace. My phone is delayed, so I got a late text, a late message. All right, I might be delayed. Phone might not work. I might not know how to work it right. But a couple weeks ago, somebody had a furnace problem. I went down, looked at it, and said, "Absolutely, positively, I will not do it." Yeah. Oh, sorry, I will not do that. No. So I said, well, I'll go down there with the experts. They had more wiring and all stuff. I ain't missing all that stuff. Now, I used to do it years ago. I ain't too old, but I just don't do it no more. So I went down there with the expert went down there, and the expert called back. He said, cost $1,500. You buy the furnace for $2,000? You know? Gonna cost $1,500. I said, what? I ain't talking about that. It's just true. I can go around like, I just go buy the whole furnace and put it in before I do that. I get everything brand new. So the person who had the furnace called and said, well, what am I gonna do? I said, you better go with it. I'm saying, I'm serious. And I hate people to cheat people. Man, I can't stand when people to cheat people. So I called the person I was with and I said, well, I don't want to do it. But I'll help you do it tomorrow with the help of the Lord. I don't want it. I had somebody breathing on my back a little bit. But I ain't going to do it. I used to mess with all that stuff. All tight, you gotta pull this out, pull that out, keep this up, keep that, and all these different ways and everything. So we got to that point. I'm just saying, when you trust God, I ain't talking about making a life, you do it. I'll tell you that. Have I ever done it before? No. I ain't never did it. That's why I'm gonna do it. So as we were doing it, we started at 9, it got to be about 2 o'clock. The first time I was doing it, man, this is a lot of work. I said, yeah, I told you it was a lot of work. That's why I didn't want to do it. Amen. I didn't know it was going to be a lot of work. So we finally got the motor out, go over to the place. We go over there and exchange the motor. The guy said the motor is $700. We get it for $400 or something. That's a $300 saving already. cheap people. You can't keep up with the calls they got so many. Why you want $300 different just in the price? Well, there's going to be $700, sir. What do you want me to do? I said, I want you to know. I'm going to do it myself. So we get the motor out. Go get the motor, come back. I called him. I said, hey, you sure you gave me the right motor? Because when I gave him the motor, you know, it's supposed to mess stuff up. When I gave him the motor on the old shelf was this long, was this much longer than the old one. I was like, are you sure? He said, listen, we cross it, this is all right. So we go back. We go put the motor in, they can't get the motor, they can't get the propeller on the motor, because it's 2 inches too short. So the person I'm working with, I said, man, that's what I told you, I didn't want to do this in the beginning. I didn't want to do it in the beginning. So the person I'm working with said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. I told you this ain't my profession. They said, call the guy and said, listen, we got the motor, just come put it in. So you know what I mean? It's not as I sit there for a minute after all. I said, well, you got to pray. We can stop praying. Seriously, say, can we all stop praying? Because the motor is this much too short. So we stick the motor in, and the propeller's in there, and the motor's back here. Okay, so what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. Stop asking me what we're going to do. Now, I said, in my mind, I already told you I didn't want to do this. In the back of my mind, I'm saying, you dummy. You said you weren't going to do it. What you doing, Father? All right, let me get to the end of this, right? What I'm saying is, I made a choice, right? I'm just saying that to say, if I choose to, I could, because I trust God. Amen. And God makes up for my weaknesses. But we finish it and it working. Thank you, Alexis. But what I'm saying is, we have to make choices. You will never mess up when you choose God. Amen. RPI, you have a matter of fact, when I was doing it, we had some of the pastors, we were all communicating back and forth. I said, y'all just keep me in prayer. I'm down here in this basement, beaten up by the water, hands cut up and bleeding. I put on my glove and see where we love. You know all that metal down there so sharp? I'm cut up, I got blood here, blood there. No. I said, y'all just keep me in prayer. One of them there said, oh, you Mr. RPI. He said, I don't have Mr. RPI. All right.
Amen.
I'll say all this in this, just choose God.
Yes.
Everything else is important. But there's only one very important thing, and that's your relationship with God. Don't allow anything, don't allow anyone. Even when you get in a quandary and don't know what to do, you can send in a little cartoon illustration to the judge, and they'll dismiss your case. Because you gotta have a relationship. He missed it, he was sleeping. That's all I'm saying. You missed it. That's what I'm telling you. You missed it. I said, when you got a relationship with God, that's where I'll stand. You can send in a cartoon illustration over $200. And they say, case dismissed. It's been paid in full. And you don't know nothing. Well, today is all about choices. We're at a crossroad. Your decision you make is for the better or for the worse. The decision you make can take you to heaven. Or you take it to heaven. A lot of times you say, well, I want to do it, but I'm going to wait. Wait for what? I can tell you a story about people that have waited and died before they got a chance to get in the water and get baptized. Today is all about choices. The choice you make will be for the better or for the worse. But as for me and my house, who will serve the Lord?
Hallelujah.